Public Safety and Corrections Committee meeting for May 3rd to order. And Aaron, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the minutes from the April 5th meeting. Discussion, corrections, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? What am I missing here? That's okay, Tim, I guess you're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'll give you a quick update on Motorola project. Motorola will be in town today doing tower work at the Jasper Tower site. And then they're scheduled to be back Wednesday, Thursday this week to complete the work at Cameron and Jasper. The work that they did at Perkinsville seems to be working the way it's supposed to be. So we're making some very good progress. So once they complete the work, we'll do some additional testing to make sure everything's good before we get ready to cut over. So
we're heading in the right direction. So give me an update on that. Item for today's committee is acceptance of a generator maintenance bid. This is for our tower sites. We have generators at each of our tower sites for backup generation. We did not have an annual maintenance contract, so we decided to put out to bid an annual maintenance contract. We had two vendors that supplied bids, and I'd like to award to Emergency Power Systems for a total price of $3,025.
Is that annually for all of our generators across the county?
It's for all of the generators at the tower sites.
What was the other bid?
The other bid was Cummings Sales, $3,301.
So have we had problems in the past with these generators?
Not typically, but we're getting to the point of where some of the ones that we put in are getting a little older and we need to have a regular maintenance contract on them. And the other addition is for us to be able to use Homeland Security grant funds for it. It's better to have it bid out and then have a pricing for hourly rate and emergency repairs and things like that. So that's why we decided to go this direction.
What was the difference in their hourly rates once they come out?
They were a little bit different in the hourly rates, but it's $10, $12. You know, it's not significant between the two. So Emergency Power System was the lowest bid on the overall annual maintenance cost, but the hourly rate is a couple dollars more. Which typically we don't usually have to have them come and do a lot of emergency work. It's as long as we have annual maintenance, we're usually pretty well covered.
Were the response times substantially different or?
No, that was written into the bid. So they had specific response times.
I'll move it.
I'll second it. So who does the regular maintenance on them?
So our radio tech will do, some regular maintenance, but this is for an annual maintenance. So they're coming and doing, a typical annual check. There's a run load requirement on there for them. So this helps us keep the fleet rolling along.
If you're going to have backup generators, you need to do the maintenance, have those maintenance contracts on them, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. The only time you remember to do maintenance is when the power goes out and the generator doesn't start.
Exactly.
Then it's too late.
Yep.
Anything else? I have a motion in the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
I have one question for Tim.
Yes.
Can you give us an update on the fire or EMS study that's been going on for a couple of years now?
Yep. So they finally received all of the surveys back, or most of the surveys back, from the transport agencies. The last thing they were looking for was some cost of regular operations, which I was able to gather for them and provide them. So right now they're compiling the final data, and they anticipate probably having the draft report to us in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
And then what happens with that at that point? Do we disseminate it throughout the county? Do we have a group that sits down and reads it and looks at it? Or what's your plan for utilizing that report?
I think you folks should review it first. So it would be presented to you, and then I think you direct us how you want to handle it. We could certainly have a group conversation, but depending upon your initial takes and what
join the meeting
initially directions you're looking to go at, I'd say have some thoughts amongst yourself, and then we could certainly.
Sounds better to me.
It's out of hand.
All right. Anything else for Tim?
Thanks,
thank you.
Tim.
Okay. Thank you.
Sheriff.
Good morning.
Morning.
First item is to accept an additional Stop DWI crackdown funding of $3,000.
Motion. Mullen.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Perfect. And the second is to approve an amendment to the GTL contract and to extend it. An additional 5 years. GTL is the company that we work with in the jail for phones and tablets. So we don't pay them anything. They pay us through commissary. And part of this contract is they're going to also donate additional equipment for the safety and security of the jail to the tune of $68,773. Yes, very happy.
What else are they? What are they giving us?
So that breaks down into tasers, cartridges, and body cameras for in the jail.
I had a question on that. Was that part of why the commissions changed to 60% from 55?
So the commission changes. No, actually, the commission went up. That changes in accordance with the FCC federal guidance. The FCC sets what the commissions can be and what the charges can be.
So they have a cap on it, or they set the rate, or they set a cap?
Yeah, there's a cap. This is consistent with what other counties are receiving now. The Sheriff's Association also does an RFP with GTL as a group to get better rates for everybody.
And it's at 60%.
I'll move it. Second.
Further discussion?
My only question. So this is an RFP that's basically being accepted through the Sheriff's Association, or did you bid it, or did we have the ability to extend it?
This is an extension of the existing contract.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Nate here. Nate's up.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Asking permission to reclassify a deputy sheriff position to a criminal investigator position in the sheriff's department. We've had an employee that's been on 207C for what, almost five years, I think. We've been in conjunction with the employee trying to get them disability retirement. It's difficult, but obviously we don't have anybody working in that title in that position at this point. So we're asking to reclassify this deputy sheriff position to a criminal investigator to put an employee into that role. If and when we're successful getting this individual off 207C and retired, we'd then want to classify that criminal investigator position back to a deputy sheriff position. So in the end, there'd be no increase in anything. But at this point, it's just been so difficult with that person out for 5 years to get that work done and to get somebody in there to do it. So Sheriff, do you?
I sent the justification. Did everybody get that?
Yes.
I'll move it for discussion.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Aaron?
That's what I just wanted to state that I got your email, and I think that was a great breakdown. My question is Brooke doing a good job? And I mean,
she does a phenomenal job.
Because I think that the 9 years in the force proves her loyalty to us,
yeah.
That if somebody's not a, you know, a great test taker or something like that, I personally feel that it's, you know, it's not a bad decision. If you hire an outside investigator to take that position or something new, we might find they're not loyal or they want to move back to a different area once they get some experience.
Yeah.
So, but I just wanted to make sure that the new position goes back to a deputy when and if it opens, that it's not going to be another investigator.
That's it. Yeah. This is just to facilitate this. Once whatever happens with the one that's out, you know, then that would go back to a deputy
position. So would it automatically go to a deputy position? I just want it to fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. I mean, it won't, but I mean, we've done it. Actually, we did it recently with Risk, where we said, you know, that position that I let him have for a while, that it would automatically go back. If you folks want to do something like that, I would assume we could, but I don't know.
It'll be in the minutes that is.
Yeah.
And as far as Deputy Payne, I'm not doing myself any favor by promoting her, because she's one of my go-to deputies that I know if I give her a task, it's going to be done the right way the first time. So I lose that. I'm going to have to redevelop another person in that spot on the patrol force. So, but she has absolutely earned it. And the advantages she'll bring having a female in the investigative unit is very substantial.
How long do we have under this list to be able to promote her?
You're probably looking September-ish in that neighborhood. It just depends on when the stuff comes back from the state. And obviously, it's moving slower, so could be September, could be December, could be August. But somewhere in that range, it'll be this year that list would become defunct, and you know the new one would take over.
Because my preference would be to you know, back into the summer or so when we know the list is still there, but just not immediately. But I'm generally okay with the concept.
My thought was not to.
So that kind of matches up then. Okay.
So the only question I have, in the past 5 years, who's been taking care of the caseload of this investigator that's been off?
Right.
Everybody else.
How many investigators do we have currently?
So counting this one that's been off, six.
Well, for 5 years, we've been getting the job done with five?
Well, yes and no. For the past year and a half, 2 years, we've been paying a deputy out of title to do DSS investigations.
When we added the Drug Enforcement Task Force, or whatever we did a few years ago to add four people on, were some of those people investigators?
What?
So we did add. So can you give us a history of where we've gone with investigation over the last 5 years, the numbers that we've had?
So over the past 5 years, we had a net increase of one. And one part-time. You approved two part-time, but we zeroed this budget, so we only have one part-time for narcotics and one full-time for narcotics. There was one new investigator position over the last 5 years, besides the part-time reclass, which was a reclass from a full-time CO position to two part-time positions. But when we did the budget, we zero-based one of the part-time positions along with two deputy positions were zero based this year.
Okay, I lost you a few few explanations ago. But. Okay.
it's always fluid. It's just kind of the nature of it. But net increase is one over the last 5 years, investigators.
And has the officer on 207C been on that for the full 5 years?
He was back light duty a couple times until his doctor wouldn't let him stay anymore. So he's been off for the last two and a half years.
completely off. We can't use him even on light duty, according to his physician. Before that, we had him back doing light duty tasks to assist in the investigations. So that was part of how we dealt with the issue. But for the past 2+ years, we haven't even been allowed to have him back light duty.
So I'm assuming we're paying full salary for this individual?
Yes. Yep. And I'm not sure how much we get back from PERMA because he's 207C.
Yeah, we're self-funded largely. Well, we're largely self-funded. For his, we're pretty much paying the full shot. And to his credit, he's been trying to get back.
He has been doing everything he can to get his retirement done. Mm-hmm. And he is one that is absolutely deserving of a disability retirement. But the state has been dragging its feet and dragging its feet. We've contacted our state assemblyman to help put pressure on. We've sent repeated letters. We've done everything we can to move this along. And they move at their own pace.
So, Aaron, are we amending this resolution to not fill this till July?
Oh. Yes. Well, that's part of the...
Jeff's motion.
Is that part of your motion?
All right, I'm making it.
I'll move to... Yes.
That's fine with me.
Okay. So any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
All right. I guess we got just the district attorney. District attorney here? Oh, there he is. Brooks. He's hiding.
Is this to discuss the part-time ADA situation?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So Jack reached out. We have not resolved the Ronaldo Bilkari position at this stage. We were working on it last spring. We went to COVID, the COVID shutdown stuff. And since basically every other practice of law shut down, all he was doing was ADA work, it was not an issue. Now business opened back up again, and he's looking to take on additional outside employment. And so I'm looking for guidance as to how we deal with that situation. I had hired him on as less than a full-time employee, I believe 80%, because there was a history of that in the office, and it made it viable in this case. And now I'm told that's not a possibility, so I'm trying to figure out how to make this work. We have had part-time and less than full-time positions in the DA's office going back, I think, to the mid-1990s. I remember that Alan Reed held 2 part-time spots as an outside ADA. I know that because when he left, I wanted to take one, and I was a full-time ADA and was told I could not take one on top of my existing job. I was hired as an 80% employee by John back in 2000 and either the end of 2010, beginning of 2011, because he had an opening and couldn't fill that spot. We brought Mike in a bunch of years ago in that kind of a situation. It provides us with the ability to bring somebody in who can do a job and also let them have some outside income to make it worthwhile for them. And you know, with that, I want to note that ADAs are different than anybody else who works as an attorney for the county. I was talking to Sean Sorrow about this, and his position for his people is they can have outside employment so long as they comply with the county structure. So if one of their people wants to do a closing or wants to do an estate or something else, or even some courtroom work, so long as it does not conflict with their county duties or with the county pursuant to the code of ethics, they can do that. My people can't. Once they become full-time ADAs, they are ethically bound by an ADA standard that says you cannot have outside employment. So they don't have that luxury. So the only way to give somebody that is to pay them less money up front for a full-time job and give them the ability to do some additional outside work. I can talk about the market and what it would cost to hire 2 full-time attorneys or a full-time attorney in one of those positions. I did look. You know, right now, Ontario County is hiring 0 experience at $70,000 and hiring ADAs with a few years experience on it at $100,000. We did lose an ADA. A full-time ADA to Ontario County 2 years ago. Monroe County starts with 0 experience at 61, 62, That's not what we have here. Saratoga County is starting at $92,000 plus benefits with no particular a two-year experience requirement. Jefferson County, for entry-level ADA is at $72,000. Montgomery, $78,000. Lewis County, somewhere between $62,000 and $78,000 with no experience required. Bronx County is looking for everybody, from bureau chiefs down to assistants, at numbers that aren't anywhere near what we're looking at. It just there's a market out there. That's just what's on the DA's website right now. I'm not on there with the two positions I have open. I know Chemung County's got positions they have open. I know Allegheny County has positions they have open. They're not on there. Right now there are, it's almost impossible to find full-time people. I'm looking really hard and trying to do that. The solution that allows us to pay somebody in the 60s to do what is essentially a full-time job. That job is a 40-hour a week job or more when you look at the numbers. But a lot of it takes place outside 9 to 5. There's an arraignment component, which is in the morning between 8 and 10. There's local courts that are being covered, which are after hours. He's doing preliminary hearings, which are after hours. So there is time during the day that if he wants to work extra hours, this allows him to do that and make some money and be willing to work for the salary we can pay.
So Brooks, yes. I think part of the problem here is that the individual in question is not registered with the clerk. Okay. Sitting out there about the outside employment. Has that been taken care of?
I put the request out. I don't know if it's been filed. I don't think it's been filed yet, but I haven't seen it come back. I'll get that filed. That's not my
so that's biggest part of the problem sitting out there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, isn't another issue that, I mean, District Attorney Baker said, you know, I just said, now I'm told that this is the case, but this was not new, was it? This discussion about not having an 80%. District Attorney?
I think you discussed it last January or February before COVID.
It was before COVID.
This committee and administration. And I think administration ended up with, we talked about 75, but it sounded like everyone was kind of the consensus of 100 or 50.
Right. That's right.
Was that conveyed to the district attorney that it was either 100% position or 50%?
Yes.
How long ago?
Administration talked about it.
So over a year ago. So this isn't anything new. Is he being paid 100% or 80% or 50%? What's he being paid?
He's being paid at a rate which is 80% of what he would make if he were a full-time employee. I think his salary is somewhere in the low 60s.
You were talking about our starting salaries or other counties starting salaries.
Correct.
Where are ours? I don't remember.
I think we start at 55 is our starting salary. We haven't been able to ever, in my experience last few years, we've not been able to hire at our starting salary. We've been outbid pretty consistently. I think we started Anna at $57,000, a little bit over. She had not yet passed the bar. But we've already been outbid, and we were about to be outbid by Chautauqua. I think when we were talking to her, she had another offer at the time. So the other piece of our puzzle here is that Drenald is part of another firm that has a part-time ADA in it. Thomas Bowes, they were sort of a package deal. As you may or may not know, when one person in a firm takes on a DA position, nobody in that firm can do criminal law. So to give up the criminal law piece and hiring both of those folks made sense for that firm to give up the criminal law piece. Most likely were I to lose either Drenald or Tom, I would probably lose the other one as well because the firm would have to make some money some other way, which puts me in the spot.
So Brooks, at this point, I think we're into a situation where probably this should be talked about in executive session sitting out there.
That makes sense. About the employment. Mm-hmm. Specific individuals.
So I don't have anything else on the agenda, so a motion to go into executive session.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we're in executive session.
Yep. Shut him down. The official chap.
So, wait one second. Are we going to talk about jail food costs at all? Or?
So, I had a few.
Session, we have one. Do we have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
So Aaron, that's what I was.